And joining us now is Nuket Sandal, who is a professor of political science at Ohio University and the director of global studies in Ohio University's Center for International Studies. She's the author of Religious Leaders and Conflict Transformation and Religion and International Relations Theory. And she has an article at the Huffington Post, Killing Jamal Khashoggi Was a Saudi Warning Shot. Welcome to Background Briefing, Nuket Sandal.
Thank you very much, Ian, for having me.
So thanks for joining us, Nuket. And now President Trump has, of course, been almost coaching the Saudis to come up with an explanation for what happened to Jamal Khashoggi in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. After they did, finally, they had all kinds of different versions of what happened, denying it, and then recently coming up with an absurd and almost laughable explanation. There's been a subsequent explanation from another high-ranking Saudi that doesn't really answer any of the real questions. Trump is basically now saying, well, not entirely convinced with their explanation, but he still endorses the crown prince. So I guess the real question is here, the whole thing would be settled, surely, Nuket, if Erdogan would just come out with this evidence that he keeps teasing about.
Well, you have a good point there, Ian. So there are certain conversations happening definitely behind the scenes between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia and Turkey. And Turkish officials so far have been very careful with how much information they release and when they release it. So depending on how these communications go with the Saudis, Turkey will either release more information, including what it is suspected that Turkey has the video recordings as well. Or if things go well with the Saudis, they might just not release any of those. And so far, Turkish officials actually denied having released or leaked any of these records. So only time will tell how much we will see from the Turkish side.
Now, without being too cynical, Nuket, is it possible that the Saudis could throw some money at Erdogan?
I am suspecting that it will be more than beyond money, and it will be some promise of long-term stability. Because, as you might already know, there was some turbulence around Qatar in the past, which Turkey has really strong relations with. So my expectation would be that rather than money, it would be more like We will make sure that there won't be too much of this instability in the future regarding Qatar.
Well, we know that the Turks sent a military unit down there as a tripwire,
yes,
because the Saudis could have invaded. And it's worth noting that 2 weeks after President Trump made his state visit to Saudi Arabia, which was his first state visit, the young crown prince then went ahead with this blockade that seems about as well thought through as his war in Yemen. But the real agenda there with the blockade of Qatar is they want to shut down Al Jazeera, don't they?
Well, they just want to have control of the region. Let's put it that way. It's not just about Al Jazeera. It's not just about Muslim Brotherhood. It's just they want to make sure that in the future there will not be any significant challenge to the Saudi rule. And they will be able to control what is happening, who the actors are in the region in general.
Well, I don't know that how's he going to have any credibility on the world stage? You've got the leaders of France, Germany, and the UK calling for a real inquiry. I think it probably is going to end up in the UN, don't you think?
Oh, yes. No, right now, after what happened, you are absolutely right. I think, and this is something I wrote in the Huffington Post article, they did not expect that, there would be a strong Turkish surveillance on the consulate, and the second, that this would come out this strongly and would attract so much attention. So they were wrong in those estimations for sure. And if these Saudi authorities or the crown prince could go back, I think they would have done it differently. But at the same time, in long term, it is still to be seen what the implications will be. One implication is, as you know, Ian, like recently, Mohammed bin Salman has been represented as the champion of reform in the region, in Saudi Arabia. So that perception definitely will change. After this incident, I cannot imagine any columnist, any journalist writing about MBS in the way they used to a month ago. So that will change. But what does it mean for long-term Saudi-U.S. relations or Saudi role in global politics and economy is to be seen.
And again, I'm speaking with Nuket Sandal, who's a professor of political science at Ohio University and director of global studies in Ohio University Center for International Studies. She's the author of Religious Leaders in Conflict Transformation and Religion and International Relations Theory. And she has an article at the Huffington Post, Killing Jamal Khashoggi Was a Saudi Warning Shot. Now, the president, basically, in regard to these shifting stories on the part of the Saudis, the latest of which nobody takes seriously, the president said their stories are all over the place. But then he went on to talk about the crown prince and saying he's been a person who can keep things under check. I mean, that in a positive way. He truly loves his country. I mean, keeping things under check. I mean, this is a medieval country where they have absolute power. And
plus, Ian, that's not exactly the right comment to make, even if you want to keep things going on with Saudi Arabia, because the crown prince is actually about to make the claim that this happened outside of his knowledge, which means that he actually didn't have very good control, according to his account.
Right.
Because we have also seen, like 18, I think, Saudi nationals have been arrested, and two of them are very close members of the inner circle of Mohammed bin Salman. And King Salman has actually started this restructuring of Saudi intelligence, and he guaranteed that there would be a report in a month about what exactly happened. And who leads that initiative? The crown prince. So the argument is very obvious that they will make. They will try to make the argument that maybe some arguments about Jamal Khashoggi, that he was a threat. And definitely they will make the argument that this was done outside of the knowledge of the crown prince and by some circles who were close to the crown prince, which means that they will make the argument that the crown prince did not have much control over that.
But how much do you think that Salman and MBS, his son, are in an alternative universe because they have absolute power? You know, there's no parliament, there's no courts, they get Sharia law. I mean, you know, Ambassador Jordan, Robert Jordan, who was George W. Bush's ambassador to Saudi Arabia, he was there at the time of 9/11 and afterwards, and he wasn't King Salman then, but he was, you know, the governor of the very province where most of the 15 of the 19 hijackers in 9/11 were Saudis, and most of them came from King Salman's province where MBS grew up. He was the governor. And when the Ambassador Jordan said, you know, but 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis, how do you explain that? And Salman said it was a Mossad plot, that 9/11 was conducted by Israeli intelligence. So how do you deal with that kind of mentality? If the kid has the same mentality as his father, maybe that explains why he thought he could get away with this.
As I said in the article, I think they had actually a lot of reason to believe that they could get away with this. The only thing that makes this different is how it was conducted. I mean, if Khashoggi was killed in a quote-unquote accident or something else happened, then they could put a reasonable distance between themselves and what happened. But right now, of course, given that this happened in the most brutal manner, in the consulate, changes how this looks. But at the same time, they had every reason to believe that they could get away with the disappearance or the killing of a dissident. So I'm not very surprised that they actually believed that. They probably, as I said before, underestimated the extent of the surveillance. They did not think that there could be audio or video recordings of this. But the disappearance of Khashoggi, his murder, if this hadn't taken place like this, would be in their interest. And when I say warning shot, what I meant in the article was that the crown prince wants to give a strong message to the dissidents in diaspora and the Saudi diaspora and their supporters. So in that sense, he took it very personally, and this is a very strong message the way it is done, even if it didn't leak out in this way. It's a pretty bold message.
Well, you also point out very accurately and necessarily, Niket, that this is exactly the same MO of Putin in poisoning Litvinenko with polonium and Skripal with Novichok, sending a message to his dissidents both at home and abroad, and Kim Jong-un using a binary form of VX nerve gas on his own half-brother, all happening on foreign soil. So there's definitely a pattern there, and I might add that all three, Putin, MBS, and Kim Jong-un, the world leaders that our president praises more often than not, and while trashing our traditional allies. So, welcome.
Yes, and I mean, I would like to also remind that when President Trump first heard about this incident, his reaction was that, well, this didn't happen in this country, and the person is not an American citizen. Khashoggi is a resident. From the first reaction, you could see that President Trump is very ready to leave this behind, regardless of its details. And then he was under pressure from his own party, from members of the Congress. So he had to say something remotely negative about what's going on. And that's why we have got the statement of all the stories all over the place. Yes, but at the same time, as you pointed out, it's always followed with an applause or with a positive comment about the crown prince, about the king, about how transparent this investigation is, which is very questionable, of course.
Well, the idea that they had a quarrel and then suddenly, you know, he gets his fingers chopped off and his head chopped off and...
That's not very credible.
No, but the glaring question that's left hanging is, where is the body, right? So
of course.
Do you know about the searches underway in Turkey? There are two versions, that the body was chopped up and disposed of in the woods outside of Istanbul, or the latest one that Reuters is reporting from a senior Saudi official was that the body was rolled up in a carpet and handed off to a local Saudi or somebody that was on the Saudi payroll to be disposed of. Do you think the MIT and the Turkish investigators are going to find the body?
Well, it is too early to make any guesses at this point. It is definitely, in their explanation, Saudi's explanation, which has changed since the incident happened, there are many gaps. And this is one of the gaps. We cannot know exactly what happened. The only people who probably can make guesses are the people who have the audio and video recordings. And I think those are not very long recordings. So the Turkish intelligence agency is on it. And I don't know whether we will have any answers soon to the question of body.
Well, but Erdogan says that he's going to announce details of Turkey's investigation on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So what do you expect? I mean, you were saying earlier that it may not even come out because they may make some kind of deal for regional stability, particularly over Qatar. But on the other hand, he's, you know, been leaking this stuff profusely. I'm assuming that the MIT has pretty close relationships with the CIA. Do you think the material, even if it's not made public, has been shared with other intelligence services?
Oh, it's always a possibility. I think this is a kind of case where what we know in public is much less than what's going on behind the scenes. And everyone, including President Trump, including President Erdogan, and including the Saudis, will want to look like they are in control of the narrative. How successful they will be, we will see. At this point, I think we are basically dependent on what is going on in private chambers in terms of conversations and interests, unfortunately, rather than what really happened and who was really responsible for that.
So do you think that there's going to be any injustice here? I mean, it's a horrible thing that happened.
It is a horrible thing. It's shocking. But given the state of global politics right now, I am almost 100% sure that there will not be justice.
Well, it's not the best note to end on, but...
I'm sorry. I hope I will be able to be more optimistic in the future with our conversations, Ian.
Well, thank you, Nuket. And again, I've been speaking with Nuket Sandell, who's a professor of political science at Ohio University and director of Global Studies in Ohio University Center for International Studies. She is the author of Religious Leaders and Conflict Transformation and Religion and International Relations Theory. And she has an article at the Huffington Post, Killing Jamal Khashoggi Was a Saudi Warning Shot. And we're going to take a brief station break. We're back looking into whether the imbalance of power from the ruthless minority rule of the Republicans will lead to a second civil war.